Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Abbey Springs Golf Course on the shores of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. For tee times, visit abbeysprings.org.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I feel like we really did some work on the 5 on it questions today. Have a few topics for you that came from it in the upcoming days, but right now we tried to stick to questions that were the most usable for today. 5
on it. Which was a worse loss yesterday? The Cubs 14-5 loss to the Giants or the White Sox 4-3 loss to the Royals?
One I slightly saw coming. One I did not see coming. So I'm going to go with the Cubs loss being worse. But to lose in an unfortunate highlight that will unfortunately even more haunt Chase Meidroth for a long time because the ball hit his glove and then his head. You just hate to see it. Nobody deserves to be turned into one piece of video that I think won't define his career. I hate that for him. So I'm sad. But I still don't think it's as bad as what happened with the Cubs game.
No, I completely disagree. The White Sox loss is a whole lot worse than the Cubs loss. Here's why. They actually had the lead in the game. Okay, let's start with that. And they had a chance to close out the game. They were up 3-1 heading into the bottom of the eighth inning. You got to win a close game at some point. Well, you should win a close game. Well, the White Sox got to do better. 4-3, lost to the Royals. Very predictable on who walked it off. When you look at that lineup, Bobby Witt Jr. Is that a slow clap?
No, that was me clapping to Bobby Witt Jr.
Okay, so
how much are the Royals paying him?
The Chase Meidroth thing might not be emblematic of his career or anything, but it certainly is kind of emblematic of where the White Sox are at this current juncture in time. They were 10-25 coming into the day yesterday. You know what that was? That was on pace to win 47 games, which is just above 46.5.
Well, but because looks like my $2 will be coming back to me in riches.
But they lost. So now
I would like a solid gold powder compact.
I think they're on pace to win 46 games now, which is under the 46.5. Listen, they look like they're about to figure things out, but I don't think that they're about to figure things out. And Meidroth, an 0-for-5 day. His OPS is now down to 627. The batting average is down to 245. I want more bright spots. Luis Robert Jr. didn't even play until he came in. Late in the game.
What was that?
I don't know.
Why would you take out somebody who was improving? They wanted to develop routine and momentum.
To give him a day, but I would have given him the day game off because now he's got to turn around and play today, which is a quick turnaround from having to go into the game late into the game. It was a worse loss for the Sox because the Cubs, it was like, okay, you fought your way back. But the Sox, they just gave it away at the end.
The stats made history in multitudes of ways.
Yeah, that's pretty much on one guy.
When you're bringing up like 1929 for extra inning runs scored.
No, I get it. It's unfortunate, but the Sox, show me, they have one save on the season as a team. One.
And?
They need more. They five on it.
Let's have a hypothetical situation. It's the top of the eighth, and the Cubs have a one-run lead. Top of the eighth, one-run lead. Who should manager Craig Counsell use to pitch the last two innings?
Has Julian Merriweather pitched in this game?
Is this about today? Or yes. Is this about... This is today.
Today.
All right, let me remind you of who was used yesterday, okay. Shall we? Drew Pomeranz, one inning. Brad Keller, one inning. Daniel Palencia, one inning. Chris Flexen, one inning. Porter Hodge, one inning. Ryan Pressly, multiple batters. Caleb Thielbar, one inning. Andy was used for two innings the day before. Thielbar is probably unavailable, correct?
Yeah, he pitched 2 days in a row.
Yeah, all right, so he's out. Hodge is probably out.
Wait, why is Hodge out?
Didn't he pitch the day before?
No. Only people that pitched the day before were Thielbar and Hollowell.
Hollowell, that's where I got it mixed up. So Hollowell's available because that's a day of rest. But he's not my seventh, eighth inning guy.
Who are you going with in the eighth?
Merriweather. He's available.
Who are you going with in the ninth?
Porter Hodge.
Has Ryan Pressly pitched in this game, or you just...
No, he has not.
And he won't.
Give him a day at least.
He's going to get 2 days because they're off tomorrow.
That's fine.
Okay. I might be slightly counterintuitive to this, but I'm going to say you run Porter Hodge out there in the eighth, and you run Ryan Pressly out there in the ninth. Let's see what's good. I need to know if this is a problem or not. Actually, it's already a problem. But I need to know how much of a problem this is.
Is it like John Fox where he says, oh, it's all a problem?
Kind of. Yeah.
He wasn't wrong about that. Like, that applies to my life on a really regular basis.
Let me amend my answer. If Julian Merriweather has not pitched, I would go Merriweather, then Hodge. If Julian Merriweather has pitched in the seventh inning, I would stick to Hodge, Pressly.
What if you just get weird and you're like Daniel Palencia? You're popular with 670 the score. Get on out there. It's the ninth inning.
So now we're not talking about today. Let's talk about our big overall philosophy about Craig Counsell. Who is your who would you be pitching in that same situation moving forward? Have you lost faith in Ryan Pressly?
No, it's still gotta be the same. It's still gotta be like Merriweather, Hodge, Pressly for me. I'm not gonna let one performance just kill this, but I'm a little worried about the fact that the FIP is so high. That is a stressful stat to be that high and expect what you're expecting.
If he's not on the IL, he's out there in the ninth until he loses his job.
The FIP was 4.9 prior to yesterday.
Oh, it went up to 5.28, I want to say.
That is horrifying coming from a bullpen evaluation standpoint.
The FIP is 5.39 currently.
Yeah.
It's not great.
During his weekly appearance with Mully and Haw this morning, CHSN analyst Ozzie Guillen said this about AAA Charlotte Knights first baseman Tim Elko.
You're in the minor league. You're playing AAA with this kid and you're his teammate. And they walk to the ballpark, they see him in the cross, and man, you're still here? Then number two, Elko be like, man, what I should do to be in the big league? I do it everything I have to be in the big league. Right? That's number two. And number three, when you're part of this organization and you have a guy playing that well and Junior got called up, people say, like, I ain't signing with the White Sox. Look at what happened to this man. Or look at what's going on. Why they not moving people up?
Do you think Tim Elko belongs in the majors as it sounds like Ozzie Guillen does?
Yes. Number one, I agree with Ozzie on a lot of things. Number two, he's earned it. He has shown you exactly what you're supposed to be doing right now in the White Sox organization. He's got 10 home runs that leads in minor leagues. He's batting .343. I don't care that he's 26 years old. Heck, even if he's 36, I don't care. You're earning it. Get up here. And he's right about the message it shows. And you know what? Scott Merkin was in Charlotte on Tuesday night. Why was Scott Merkin in Charlotte on Tuesday night? Because of Tim Elko. It's not like he's going for no reason. It's not like he's like, oh, Charlotte seems nice this time of year. Although, actually, I do think this is the time to see it. That's not the point. The point is he was there to talk to people. Here's what his manager said. If he got called up to the big leagues, he's a guy I wouldn't worry about. Is there any better vote of confidence? He's more of a complete hitter now, and he's an amazing clubhouse guy. I have no control over the when, but if they do ask me, I think he's ready.
So he's 4-for-18 in the month of May, which normally I'd be like, he's cooling off. Maybe they should wait till he gets into a better groove. But then I look at the stats of the current White Sox lineup, and I'm like, oh, he's still better than a lot of these guys. So let that man cook. Tim Elko. Welcome aboard.
Elko.
It would be different if they couldn't find a place to put him. But it's the White Sox. You can find a place to put someone who has the potential to have game-altering offense. And game-altering offense is relative, but in this case, we're talking about the Chicago White Sox.
We could just be talking about a home run.
I have a genuine question, though. Do you think the Sox actually want to win right now? Because if they did, they would have brought him up.
I think they're going to get a top three pick, and it doesn't matter, but they're not going to have as bad a record as the Colorado Rockies, which is something I said at the beginning of the season. I stick to.
Also, what do you think Tim Elko's wins above replacement is going to be, 10?
Well, I understand, but it's like the fact that like your current roster stinks. Like the fact you're trying out Jacob Amaya, who's one of the worst shortstops I've seen
in
a really long time.
They DFA'd him in January. That's our point.
And the fact
Go
you
ahead.
Have actually proven talent who's raking right now. I don't think you're as serious about winning as you think you are.
I just, Sad. What's the message you're sending to your minor league players, especially in this organization? Ozzie's big on that. The message that it sends, rewarding hard work.
I'll say this.
He's earned it.
They're 3-3 in their last six games. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They seem like a team that can is close to winning more games than they have been winning. So Elko could put them over the top in that respectability factor type deal. They're either getting shut out or they're losing close games or they're blowing people out. That's what's going on.
It also gives your organization a direction. It gives your players a direction.
Just a boost, a morale boost at this point. Sorry. Go ahead, Ray.
This is a question inspired by friend of the show, Clay Harbor. ESPN released its NFL power rankings, which has the Bears slotted at number 21 of 32 teams in the league. That's up one spot from last year. Do you think this is a fair assessment?
I think it's very fair. Anything 20s and on, yeah. You haven't done anything yet. Go do something on the field, and then we can talk about how you deserve to be ranked higher.
Excuse me?
Yeah. You heard what I said.
Let's scroll down and see who's their neighbor in this rankings
okay.
list.
Okay. I'm happy to do that.
All right. Number 20 is the Dolphins.
Okay. That's Dolphins over the Bears. Yeah. I'm with that.
Number 22 is the Arizona Cardinals.
Who they lose to last year? Oh, yeah. Arizona Cardinals.
DeMarcado is still running for yardage total in that game. Number 19 is the Cowboys. This is pre-trade for Pickens. But number 18 is the Falcons. And that's where it starts to get a little interesting as to these rankings. Number 17 is the Steelers.
Okay.
I think the Bears are more upwardly mobile than one spot after getting Ben Johnson.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about teams who have actually done stuff. Teams that were threatening to make the playoffs last year. Teams that were in the playoffs. If we're talking about the Steelers, you're talking about a Bears team that has proven nothing to anyone until they do something on the field. I'm not co-signing some move up to 15 or...
Yeah, you could say that every day, though, in the offseason. You'd be like, well, prove it to me. Well, yeah, we're going to see that. On the 14th, they're going to tell us exactly when those games are.
If they had a track record of last year, let's say they weren't 5-12, but they were 7-10, I might feel differently. But at 5-12, we owe you nothing. We owe you nothing.
Nah, they invested. They made actual investments.
When those investments pay off.
Both in their offensive line and in their head coaching staff.
You know what has
You'd
investments?
You'd better be higher up in
you know
these
what has
power
investments?
Rankings.
My 401k has investments. Ask me how it's doing since the calendar turned to
2025. If you dollar cost average, then you go are okay because you're still buying assets at a cheaper rate, relatively speaking.
When my
We're
401k
okay.
is back where it was at the start of 2025, we could talk about investments. I need to see it play out.
Well, unlike your 401k, one person didn't make unilateral decisions that might have led to those prices.
You could argue Ryan Poles out here making a lot of unilateral decisions. That's how we got here.
I would argue that it was a committee that was more measured in its thought process, and that's why the Bears are going to be higher than that.
Committee that was picked by Ryan Poles.
They had a standard operating procedure and market knowledge, so I would say that all of that is a lot different from your 401k.
Ryan Poles still in charge, right?
You think Kevin Warren didn't have a hand in that?
A season is a lifetime.
You guys know what I'm saying.
A year is a lifetime.
I'm sorry. A year is a lifetime. Sorry, I didn't want to didn't give enough credit. Five
on it. Heading into the 2024-2025 season, ESPN had Pacers star Tyrese Halliburton slotted at number 16 in its NBA player rankings. That's up from number 21 the previous year. How far into the rankings should Halliburton rise after seeing his performance in this year's playoffs?
I think that this performance in this year's playoffs was birthed out of a different survey. I think it was birthed out of the Athletic Player Survey, where 18% of those surveyed said that Tyrese Halliburton was the NBA's most overrated player. The first thing I thought when I saw that survey after he had the series-winning three, to advance to this very round was, oh, look who's overrated now. We know how his dad felt about it when he spoke to Giannis Antetokounmpo. I am saying that with extreme understatement. So it was so nice to see again the situation that happened in the game last night, because once again, he helps his team and helps clinch a game for them in a very, very stressful situation where the stakes are high. So I think that he's trying to tell the league he took that personally, in the words of Michael Jordan.
Okay, that's fair. As far as him being ranked 16th and whether that's appropriate, you did the whole check your neighbors, right? You know who's ranked number 17 according to that same poll from ESPN? That would be Donovan Mitchell, one spot behind him. The guy who poured in 48 points just to have it all melt away in the final minute when they had a 7-point lead. I'm not saying Tyrese Halliburton is better than Donovan Mitchell, although he's ranked one spot higher. I am saying his team is better than Donovan Mitchell's team when Donovan Mitchell is missing three of his key teammates, including Darius Garland and their defensive stopper, DeAndre Hunter. So I think he's ranked right about where he should be. You could argue a spot up or down, but I think Donovan Mitchell is better than Tyrese Halliburton. I would argue he lacks the choke that Donovan Mitchell has had from time to time in his postseason career. Because Tyrese Halliburton, I don't know if you saw the numbers. I think one of you pointed out 10 of 11 from the field on game tying or game winning shots with under a minute to play this season,
like,
including the postseason.
What to do.
10
sounds
of 11.
Like, you know what I would not call that?
Absence
overrated.
Of choke. Oh, overrated. Okay. Yeah.
I would say that is rated.
So ESPN also has their list of top 50 players. Do you want to make a guess how many Chicago Bulls are in the top 50 players?
That'd be zero.
You say two?
Yes.
No, there's zero.
Yeah.
Patrick Williams nowhere to be seen.
You had to bring up
but
Patrick
he was
Williams.
Drafted ahead of Halliburton, was he not?
He was drafted ahead of a lot of people. That's a bad draft class, too. Go back and
do
look.
Do we dare look at it? As a segment?
Bring it up on Monday. We got a lot of stuff we can talk about on Monday.
Do we really want to go there?
I think... Yeah.
Put ourselves through the pain of that draft class.
I think Monday is as good a time as any.
Giddey
depending on what happens.
Top 50, though, by the way.
Your obsession with Josh Giddey.
Also, Steph Curry expected me miss at least a week, according to Shams Charania. At least a week, but they're up 1-0.
How do you feel about that?
I don't feel great. Not great, Bob.
Do you think that the Timberwolves are going to have similar shooting performances?
What, like going 12 for 76 from three over a two-game span? Probably not.
12 for 76.
You should have seen Anthony Edwards' eyes light up when they told him that at the podium. He was like, ugh. He looked like he wanted to.
That is the goal. In a playoff post-game press conference, your goal is to say a stat that you've read that startles the person you're talking to. I had that happen with Terry Stotts because of the points they held James Harden to. I was like, you guys held James to only X points in the second half. And he was like, what?
The playoffs are a fun place. First time in NBA history that all four road teams in the conference semifinals won game one. And Pacers already 2-0 as the road team in the conference semifinals.
I'm not a huge Rick Carlisle fan, but I appreciate what he does.
Oh, Rick Carlisle's one of the best coaches in the game.
But not to media.
Well, that... Okay. That's
like,
fair.
I'm complimenting the guy's use of zone defense, and he's like, well, what positions? A, the ones you use zone on, Rick. And then B, why do you think that I wouldn't know when you use zone, huh?
Maybe Tyrese Halliburton's peers will now respect him a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe not, though.
Maybe Rick Carlisle knows when reporters know what a zone defense is.
Man, yeah, that one's stuck in your craw, huh?
We're professionals. I was in market number 10 at the time.
Yeah. Coaches be smarting off.
And they won the game. Like, what's your deal?
You never know what someone's going through or just how terrible of a person they are. You never know either of those
things. No, he was trying to test me and didn't think that I knew when that was. That's what that was. We know our dog whistles when we hear them. We get you ready for Cubs baseball next. And also, speaking of surveys, Carter Hawkins had an important point that I think deserves to be repeated about the baseball front office survey. So we'll play that for you to listen to as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The score doesn't make it look like a good baseball game. It was a good baseball game. And all the not a good inning for us, but it was two teams playing good, and we made a nice comeback, did some good things, did some great things in the ninth inning to get it there. We had shots to win it. We had four or five at bats to win it. Had one ball hit really hard that just didn't play, and then we had a bad inning.
Excuse me?
The score?
It wasn't a good baseball game at the end. Yes, you came back. Yes, you had chances to win it, multiple. But unfortunately, the outcome was bad. Oh, he meant the score of the game.
Yeah, he didn't mean us, like 670 the score. He was talking about the score of the game. 14-5 doesn't make it look like it was a good baseball game.
He made the score sound like a person there.
I mean, we're an entity. Corporations are people, right?
People think that we actually just speak in unison. They're like, the score said this. No, we did not.
You're saying we have individual
Something
personalities?
Something was said on the score. There's a difference.
Someone said it? Not the entire cast of the score. It wasn't a PR amazing? Statement.
Yeah, and we have different shows. Like this one is Rahimi and Harris as we get you ready for Cubs baseball on The Score.
That's a good take.
You know how we get the people ready? We tell them who's in the lineup on any given day.
Who's in the lineup? Especially today, I'm curious because of things that happened yesterday.
Well, on the mound, it's Robbie Ray, former Cy Young Award winner, against Ben Brown.
Former should have been a White Sox.
Wait, I'm Robbie and that's Ray.
Are you?
Talking? Wait a minute.
Wait, we really got to get over there.
Yeah, wait a minute.
You guys are fine right where you are. How about that?
In order to be Robbie Ray, you need to wear tight pants. I'm letting you know.
Okay, that's
I'm on it.
That's a requirement. And then there's Ben Brown. His name is Ben, and his last
hair
name's
is Brown.
Yeah, his hair is Brown.
He's coming off of an excellent outing. Let's remind the people: 6 innings, 4 hits given up against the Brewers. Just what you wanted to see when it came to a bounce back game for him. No walks, 4 strikeouts. You want to see him continue that in this case. But it will not be easy against a Giants lineup that is probably pretty motivated day game after that night game, the way they came back.
Speaking of bounce back lineups, there are people in this lineup that are looking to bounce back. Ian Happ's not one of them. He did his part on last night's contest. He will bat leadoff and will play left field. Kyle Tucker behind him, DHing and batting second. Say Suzuki in right field batting third. Carson Kelly will be your cleanup hitter.
Okay. Let's get weird.
He will play catcher. Batting fifth will be Justin Turner. He of the I got an RBI single in my last at bat.
That was a nice hit, actually. It was a nice piece of hitting. In pinch hit situation. No.
Get through the hole! He just
That was good. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, Justin Turner here.
Yes.
And then he was like, ha-ha, Layla, get on base and score a guy.
Nico Horner will bat sixth. He'll play second base. Pete Crow Armstrong, his most recent at bat, not great. He will play center field. Dansby Swanson still in the 8-hole. He'll play shortstop. And John Birdie will be the guy playing third base. He has good numbers against one Robbie Ray.
But you said, till further notice, Nicky Lopez.
It was a suggestion, not a demand. I have no power over these people.
But the score said they wanted Nicky Lopez.
Yes, the score said.
Yeah.
Score featuring Marshall Harris. That's what happened. So that's your lineup going in today's game. And I'm interested to see how this turns out. We know that the Cubs typically start series better than they end series. The good news is it's not a Sunday end series today, because that would be bad.
Yeah, both of the sets of numbers are not ideal. Carter Hawkins, by the way, I know we played some of his audio with the afternoon show yesterday, the interview that they had with him. He also talked about how he wasn't asked to be a part of the athletic player. Well, it wasn't player, the athletic survey, where they asked about Major League Baseball's best front offices. I like to hear his answer when it comes to his thought on the survey itself and then also his part in it.
Look, I have a lot of confidence in our front office, a lot of confidence in the people and the decisions that we're making. But I think a lot of those decisions have lagging impacts. I think you're starting to see some of the impacts of the decisions we made a couple of years ago. But as I looked at that survey, like, what reason would somebody have had, right, at this point to say we're in the top five of the front offices, right? Like, there's, you know, not anything that, you know, is happening at that point that would say, yeah, like, those guys have definitely been one of the top five. I think we have one of the top five. I think as the results of our decisions kind of come to fruition here, that, you know, I would assume that we would get votes in the future. Obviously, that's not what we're solving for. We're solving for winning games for the city of Chicago. But yeah, I mean, I read that and was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I think about the guys up there, you know, my buddies in Cleveland and in other organizations. And it's like, yeah, those guys have consistently made decisions that were really good. And those decisions have come to fruition. Ours haven't come to fruition yet, but I think you're starting to see that this year and hopefully into the years in the future.
The voting, in case you might not recall, is as follows. It was the Dodgers at number one. It was the Rays at number two, Brewers at three, Guardians at four, and the Yankees at five.
Okay. Those are good front offices.
They are. They know how to get the most out of their players. I thought Heidi Watney on Friday was really informative when she came to talking about why players like playing for the Brewers and the chances they get and how that differs from David Stearns going over to the Mets, understanding that contracts a lot of times will dictate your playing time in a little different manner than they do in Milwaukee. So I thought that all of that was incredibly valid when it comes to something like this, looking at it through that lens. But Carter Hawkins is also right. Those five front offices are also earning the benefits from the decisions that they made years ago. And you're seeing how they're consistent, and that's why they're playing out the way they are in that top five.
It's a matter of, are you putting good players on the field and giving your team a chance to win each and every year? Now, you might not always make the playoffs, but do you feel like there's a reasonable chance at the start of every season, before injuries take their toll, before certain guys don't have the years that match the back of their baseball cards? I think those are the important things. And do you have another wave of prospects ready to go when it's time to move on from some of the guys that, you know, you either have aged out or you can't afford?
Well, also, how are you developing people? How are you treating people? What are the contracts that you're offering? Is it a 1-year prove it deal to somebody, or is it a 3-year, we want to commit to you for this amount of time type of contract? What's the likelihood of you getting extended as an existing member of the team? Do they reward that? Do they reward coming up in your team and your organization to the big league level? Are they trading people who are too expensive? Cody Bellinger?
It's not fair, but I just look at this through the lens of third base. It's not fair because there's more positions on the field than third base, but that's the one that's lacking right now. So I look at it through the lens of an Alex Bregman. I look at it through the lens of anyone that the Cubs had a chance to try to go out and get and help their situation, whether that's Matt Chapman, guys that, you know.
Are you mean the one who's playing for the team that's facing the Cubs in
listen,
a few minutes?
That's where we are, through the lens of a John Birdie. You know, I look at it through the lens of a Vidal Brohan, through the lens of, keep naming him, Nicky Lopez. By the way, Nicky Lopez 1-for-2 in his career against Robbie Ray. But John Birdie, 2-for-11.
I like the average.
2-for-11 with a home run. Also, Justin Turner's seen a lot of Robbie Ray. I just want to be very clear in that compared to some of these other players. I looked at the career statistics. 12-for-45 in his career with 2 home runs. That's a .267 average with a .467 slug.
Then it makes sense as to why he's perhaps not only in the lineup, but batting fifth.
And Kyle Tucker, remember, he's slugging over .600 against lefties this season against this Robbie Ray character. 4-for-10 lifetime with 2 home runs.
Yeah, that sounds about right, given the times at which they would have seen each other. I think going back to the point that Carter Hawkins was making, though, and you talk about third base, we know that league-wide it is a problem. We know that league-wide, particularly catching, had been a problem for a while, developing and having catching talent. When it comes to at least that part of it, I feel like the Cubs have done themselves a real solid over the past several years, where even they've had times where they had 3 good catchers on the team that they would carry. But when it comes to the second stage of things like this, like the top, one of those top 5 front offices, if they had Kyle Tucker for a year, you know the Dodgers will try to extend him. The Rays and the Brewers and Guardians, maybe not, but perhaps something would be done to at least try to entice somebody if there were a homegrown talent there. And you know the Yankees would. So it makes sense as to why those 4, even 5, even through that lens, are where they are.
The lack of third base production is made up with the premium production they're getting out of the catching spot, which are usually a place where you don't get a lot of offensive production unless you have, I don't know, Cal Raleigh back there. Only the Mariners have more home runs. Only the Mariners have a higher OPS. What they've gotten from Miguel Amaya, who homered last night, and what they expect to get out of their cleanup hitter today, and Kelly, it should be fun to watch. Keep an eye on. See if they can keep that up all season long at catcher.
And Miggy's bat has got some pop in it, does it, recently?
It's I love it.
Yeah, I'm happy to see it.
It's entertaining.
That's going to do it for us. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, Cubs baseball is next. Zach Zaidman, Ron Coomer, and of course, Pat Hughes getting you ready for a day game from Wrigley, game number 3 of the series against the Giants. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer, Jenna Duddleston, Connor O'Donnell, and Matt Anaya. And you will catch you again at this time tomorrow.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.